Amen. Well, the Lord's laid a message on my heart today entitled, How to Battle Using a Prophetic Word. How to Battle Using a Prophetic Word. And so what I'm going to be doing this morning is laying some foundation, and I'm going to be sharing some battle truths with you. But then Wednesday night, I'm going to be teaching some very practical ways to take words and war with them. As a matter of fact, Wednesday night's message I planned all week for this morning, but the further in the week I got, I felt the Holy Spirit telling me that I needed to spend this time this morning kind of laying a foundation. A lot of you are very familiar with the prophetic, and we have some folks that may not be so familiar. And so I really believe this is going to be a 1-2 punch this morning coupled with Wednesday night that will help us. There may be many of you here this morning that you have received a prophetic word from someone at some point in your journey. Perhaps there are a number of you that have actually shared a prophetic word with someone else. There may be some here this morning that are saying, well, what is a prophetic word? So we're going to be looking at some scriptures, first of all, to help us. Back 25 years or so ago, when I was filled with the Holy Spirit pastoring in a Baptist church, I really became introduced to what we would call now the prophetic. Now, I knew about Bible prophecies, Old Testament prophets, and so forth, but I really had not had any exposure to modern-day prophetic ministry. As a matter of fact, a lot of people don't believe in, quote, the prophetic ministry for today. But during that time, after I met the Lord through a powerful encounter and became aware of how powerful spiritual gifts are, how God uses them in today's world, I'd been invited to a conference in Birmingham, and I was speaking. There was also a lady from Chicago, Illinois, that was there that was ministering, and I didn't know her. She didn't know me, but when she got up to minister, she looked at me, pointed at me, and said, the Lord is saying to me that he is about to open the doors to Africa to you. And she named several different nations that God was going to be sending me to. Now, I had no plans at that time for any of them. But I received the word. I was learning. I wanted to be open, receive. So I began praying about that. And less than a month later, I got a phone call from a brother that said, hey, I was praying, and the Lord laid on my heart, I was to ask you to go with me on a ministry trip to Nairobi, Kenya. And I said, well, that's interesting. I recently got a word about that. Let me pray about it, and I'll get back with you. And I didn't have to pray long, because it's like the Lord had already, ahead of time, prepared me that door was going to be opening. So I prayed, and I had peace about it. Even when I was talking on the phone with the person, I had peace about it. So let me pray about it a little bit. Got back with him, went to Kenya. Not long after that, she had mentioned Eastern Europe. The door opened for me to go to the Ukraine and minister. And then Asia, the door opened for me to go to India and minister, Central America, and so forth. These doors just started opening. So I was introduced to the prophetic in a number of ways, and that was one of them that really is just like this is so cool, how the Lord told me ahead of time, and then the door began to open. And my faith to do that was already being built, because the nature of the prophetic is edifies us. It exhorts, it encourages us, and it comforts us. We'll be looking at some scriptures now, because let's pour a little biblical concrete to stand on, if you will. And the first one I want to share with you, where I got this message for today from, is 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. Paul is writing to his protege in the ministry, son in the ministry, Timothy. He was in Ephesus. And there were demons right and left in Ephesus, all kinds of occultic practice, all kinds of polytheistic belief systems. And he was right in the middle of it, building the kingdom for the Lord Jesus. And Paul tells him, he says, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you. So he's not talking about Old Testament prophecies that pointed to Jesus. He said there had been prophecy spoken to Timothy concerning him. These were personal words of prophecy that had been prophesied over Timothy's life. And Paul said, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them, that is by these prophecies previously spoken, by them you may wage the good warfare. He goes on from there, but we're stopping here this morning. Because he's telling Timothy, what you're in the middle of there in Ephesus, because Timothy had been struggling with being timid. He had had to deal with some fear issues, and he was really on the front lines of some heavy-duty ministry. And Paul is basically saying, son, for where you are right now, you need to remember those prophetic words you've got. They are like a sword in your hand to war with spiritually. Do you know that one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit, Jesus, as he taught the 12, says, the Holy Spirit would bring to your remembrance the things that I've spoken to you. Well, I think we can take that by principle in our own lives. There are times when you're in the middle of a battle or you're in a situation that as you pray and you press into the Lord, the Holy Spirit may remind you of that prophetic word you got or that scripture that you memorized back in September of 2025. About training up your child to be able to stand on that word. Lord, we taught our child right. We taught them the word of God, and we're believing that they're going to live that out. Now, what Paul is simply saying to Timothy is, in order to deal with what is right in front of you and move forward into your future, you need to remember something that's already been given you, and that's that prophetic word, those prophecies. Notice it's plural. He had several prophecies that had been spoken over his life, and Paul says, where you are right now, it's very necessary that you stir yourself up concerning these prophecies and you use them in the warfare that you're in. So we begin to see we have the written word of God, amen, the sword of the Spirit, but we also can have these personal prophetic words that God has led someone to speak over us that are also important for us in our specific particular situations that we may face. Another scripture, later in 1 Timothy 4, we're told a little bit more about some of Timothy's God encounters. Paul says, do not neglect the gift that's in you. He's talking to Timothy. Well, what gift? He said, which was given to you by prophecy. Isn't that interesting? Paul's telling Timothy, you remember during that prophetic ministry how the Lord spoke that you had this gift. He was activating this gift in your life. And he goes on to say, given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Now this was probably an occasion when God had moved and it came forth that the Lord was calling Timothy into ministry and they gathered around him, they laid hands on him, there was prophetic ministry. And sometimes we say around here, hey, we're going to have a time of impartation in the service, the laying on of hands, because this is one of those scriptures that tells us that in their context, you can lay hands on people, there can be prophetic ministries, and gifts can be activated, things can be imparted into their life. We believe in spiritual impartation through prophetic ministry and through prayer ministry. We also believe that people can be set apart for specific ministries, and we see that here as well. There's so much in the scripture that's very simple for us to see, but prophetic ministry is extremely valid. Well, that was just for the 12. Timothy wasn't one of the 12. Now, look at Acts chapter 2. With me for a moment. First day of church. In the Old Testament era, the Spirit of God would come upon specific people for specific purposes at assigned times. You see that. A king would be anointed. Priests would be anointed. A prophet would be anointed. And so forth. The Spirit of God would come upon them. Like the Spirit of God came upon Gideon to give him that anointing to lead in war. You saw that happen in the Old Testament. But Joel prophesied a time when the Spirit of God will be poured out on all God's sons and daughters. And look at Acts chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. And it shall come to pass in the last day, says God. Says who? Who said it? All right, you might want to remember that, okay? Who said this? When? In the last days. And that's now, right? So what we're about to see must be for now, because this, if it was the last days in the early church, we're 2,000 years closer to the last days, because we're sure enough in the last days now. Look what we're told, that in the last days, says God, I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Well, that's when he's talking about the new birth. Well, yeah, I can go with that too. But there's more than that. He said, your sons and your daughters. You mean women? Wait a minute, didn't I just ask you a question? Who said that? Who? Will pour out his Spirit on his sons and his daughters, and they shall prophesy. Who said that? All right, making sure you got that part. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. But God doesn't do that anymore. Is it still the last days? And in the last days, sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will see vision. Old men will dream dreams. Now, who said that? And on my men servants. And on my maid servants. Now, I could jump right over here and just preach just a moment. And maybe just a little bit. This is another one of those passages where, who said this? Said there were sons. And said there were what? And men. And maids? And there's how many sexes? Who said that? All right. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour. Who's pouring out? My Spirit in those days. And just in case that flew over our head, he said, and they who? Sons, daughters, men servants, maid servants. They shall prophesy. We are a prophetic people. As a believer, you have prophetic anointing in your life by the Spirit of God. Says God. Says God. And if somebody wants to say, well, that he didn't mean it for today. I've got a decision to make. Am I going to preach it? Says your name? Am I going to preach it? Says God. Because what we begin to see here is that the enemy, it would be his desire to teach people they are unarmed by the prophetic. Paul got this, and he understood, hey, Timothy, you need to understand this, son. Those prophetic words that were released over you, they are now swords in your hands, and you can wage your warfare with them. So the devil wants to take another sword out of your scabbard. He wants to take a weapon that God has given you to be used to war for your future out of your hands. But God says that his sons and his daughters shall prophesy. First Corinthians, Paul's writing the church where the gifts were flourishing, the gifts were flowing. I mean, if anything, they were... They were really going to town with the gifts, and he had to kind of bring some order. But you know what he didn't do? He didn't shut it down. He didn't rebuke them for flowing in the gifts. And he surely didn't rebuke them for believing in the gifts. He said he encouraged them to flow in the gifts, pursue love, and desire spiritual gifts. But especially, in other words, and more than anything, that you may prophesy. Now, the Bible teaches that there's office gifts of the church are functions and anointings that God gives to specific people, like in the office of a prophet or like the mantle of a prophet. And that person, you know what he does? He helps people learn how to hear the voice of God, or she helps people learn to hear how the voice of God and their prophetic ministry, usually on a more pronounced, higher, more accurate level. It may have more of a tone that speaks to a wider part of the body of Christ, speak into the life of churches and so forth. But all of us, because we have the Holy Spirit, are prophetic as believers, sons and daughters. And it's all right for you to desire for spiritual gifts to flow in your life, and especially that you would prophesy. And there's probably times when the Lord was giving you something for someone and you didn't identify, you didn't understand how this works. But the Holy Spirit, who gives gifts individually to each person, He can start laying someone on your heart that you have a word for. And there's a purpose behind that. And we're told in verse 3, he who prophesies speaks edification. God can use you to help build up someone else by prophesying over them. Exhortation, that means to encourage. Someone dealing with fear, not wanting to step into what God's got for them or face the opposition the enemy's bringing against them. The prophetic can help encourage, infuse them with courage and exhort them, cheerlead them to do God's will. And comfort, which means just that, because a lot of times on the battlefield you get weary, you get tired, you can get discouraged, and you need to be consoled, you need to be comforted and nurtured. The prophetic is very, very powerful in these ways. When Paul was writing to the Thessalonians, he said this, "Do not despise prophecies." That word despise means to treat as insignificant, invalid, useless, to have contempt for it. So to stand and open up the Scripture and discourage people. Oh, you stay away from that prophetic stuff. That's not of God. Paul, writing to Corinthian believers, tells them these were not the 12. This was Gentiles, very pagan people that just got saved. You pray for these, desire these spiritual gifts, and especially that you prophesy. And he wrote to the Thessalonian believers, don't you despise this. Why? Because on the day of Pentecost, Joel reminded us that God said this time would come when sons and daughters would prophesy. They would be prophetic. I would use them to speak into the lives of other people, to encourage them, to exhort them, to challenge them, sometimes to warn them, to correct them. The prophetic is something very powerful, and it is a gift to the body of Christ. And Paul says, do not despise prophecies. And listen, I'm not putting anything that any of us would say on level with the written Word of God. I think that's a reserved domain of authority. Nothing tops the written Word of God. But that doesn't mean God still doesn't speak. And when He does, it'll never contravene what is in the book. And people, listen, rightly so, we'll fight tooth and toenail. Like, read Joel's prophecy. I don't believe that. I don't believe that prophecy. I don't believe that Isaiah stuff. That would stir most of us getting ready to war, right? To talk about that way. Like, no, stand my ground. No, Joel, he was the prophet of God. It's in the Old Testament. Amen. Well, what about what Joel prophesied? What about when he says God, my sons and my daughters will prophesy? Then when you get in the book of Acts and see them going about, you see the prophets. Philip had these daughters that were known as for their gifts of the prophetic. Agabus was a prophet. He walked in a high level of anointing. And then you get these scriptures. The early church was taught, don't despise the prophecies, desire spiritual gifts, and especially desire to prophesy. Well, that just simply means speaking. For no, preaching is a different word. Teaching is a different word. Here, Paul, in writing Timothy, shows us clearly that Timothy had been given personal words that pertain to his personal life through prophecy. And God's still doing it because we're still in the last days. And I've received prophetic words, and I've released prophetic words. And Wednesday night we'll be getting into the nut and bolts about the first step is to discern it, to make sure it is from the Lord. But don't despise it. Isn't it amazing how the enemy can get all this warfare going to get us to embrace things that the Word of God says we should despise, right? And then he'll get us to despise things that the Word of God says we should embrace. So we need to get the spirit of smarts working on us. Like when God's Word says, do not despise prophecies, and then we're being influenced to despise prophecies, that's not the Spirit of God influencing you to despise the prophetic. Yeah, but there's just a lot of this stuff that's going on in the prophetic that's not of the Lord. That's true. That's true. But that doesn't make void the authentic prophetic, the pure prophetic. Times when it is the Spirit of God speaking through a believer into someone else's life. And it encourages that person, builds that person up, helps that person, helps equip them for their future. It could very well be that the battle you're in the middle of here today, God's already given you a word for that and you've forgotten it. It's in your Bible somewhere or it's on a shelf. And when you got it, it was exciting. But you just laid it aside. So let's step into some truths about this. And the first thing I want to share with you is this. God still speaks through the prophetic. Hopefully I've already made that clear that that's what I believe. But he does still speak through the prophetic. He really does. When the Lord began to, and he spoke to me out of that 1 Timothy passage, that's where this message has originated. And as I've studied it this week, though, the further I got in the week, I started being grieved by the Holy Spirit. I started being convicted by the Holy Spirit. And I had to do some repenting. And I confess that before you. Because particularly that Thessalonian passage, do not despise prophecies. Sometimes we collect our words, but we don't really respect our words. And I thank God that we have prayer groups here that week in, week out, they're warring with the words that have been spoken over this house. But we've got to step into that too for the words that have been spoken over our lives, over our congregation, over the region, over the state. And I felt like one reason the Lord was leading me in this direction is because of the conference coming up this weekend that we needed to be reminded how powerful it is, the prophetic is, and how to use these words to take ground, to advance God's kingdom purposes for our lives, for our region, this territory. But the Lord brought to my attention a word he gave me several years ago. Mickey and I, we've got a room where we've got two recliners in it at the house, and that we sit there in the morning when we get up and read our Bibles and talk and pray and discuss and so forth. And this was a few years back. We were in the room, and the Spirit of God just came upon me. And she's the only other one in the room. Came upon me, and I stood up, and I started prophesying. The Lord says, I want you to decree that I am the restorer of lost treasures. That's what I heard him say. So I stood up and I said, I decree and declare in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord is the restorer of lost treasures. Those things that have been lost, forfeited, Those things are going to be recovered. Those things are going to be restored. It was lost through sin or lost through negligence. It doesn't matter. He's the God who restores the years the locusts have eaten. He is the restorer of lost treasures. And I'm just prophesying. I'm decreeing and declaring. She's doing her Bible reading, and all of a sudden, I'm doing it loudly. He is the restorer of lost treasures. God is the restorer of lost treasures. And I was seeing this stuff in the spirit. And then I looked over there, and Andrew had made me a staff and had done some carving on it for me, and it was over against the wall. I reached and I grabbed that staff, and I went boom, 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 9 times. And the word of the Lord come, and I said, and the Lord says, in 9 days, I will confirm this is me. There will be a sign. You will see it before your eyes, a recovery of lost treasures, and you will know that I am confirming this word. I want you to declare me to be the restorer of lost treasures. Well, that really got me excited. 9 days passed. Now I'm looking at the news. I'm watching. 9 days passed, and it came out on the news that they had just found the largest trove of golden coins in history. I think it was in the Sea of Tiberias there in Israel, out off the coast of Israel. They found this huge trove of lost treasures. Had pictures of this big pile of gold coins under the water that they had found after all these years. And I was like, oh, wow. So I go before the church and tell them about this experience. And we had a service. Many of you were there. We began to declare, God is the God. He is the restorer of lost treasures. And we declare that those things that we have lost are going to be restored to us. Things that have been stolen are going to be recovered. Things that we've forfeited through wrong choices, God, through His mercy and grace, is going to begin to restore those things. And we just started doing that. We did it in the service. You could just really feel in the anointing. And in addition to that, during this whole time, Mickey had restored. She had a box of high school stuff and photos and albums and stuff that she had, the Lord had, I forget all the details, had brought it to your mind, and it had been lost. Her daddy had told her he had thrown it away in a ditch 40 years ago. It had been 40 years. She goes down to her mom's place because we had to keep checking on that. I think her mom had, she was up here with us at that time. But she goes down there and walks into that house, and there was that box with all that stuff sitting on the washing machine after 40 years. And a relative had found it in the back of a barn somewhere. So it's just stuff like that. We had somebody in the congregation, they had $30,000 that they didn't even know they were going to be getting. It showed up. We had I think it was Davis Fisher that had lost his wallet, had a bunch of money in it that he had been working and saving up. And I think, I forgot exactly how long it had been lost, a year, 18 months, something like that. They had searched everywhere in the house and all the vehicles. But during this time, it's just a 2 or 3 week time, all this stuff is just happening left and right. They go out to get in their car, doors are locked, and on the back seat, which they had searched the car numerous times over like that 18 months, and his wallet was laying on the back seat, and all the money and all the stuff was in it. They had been in and out of that car scores and scores of time, the back seat, just laying there. Had someone had a heirloom ring supernaturally restored in a bed that had been made hundreds of times, but it showed up on the bed, in their bed, just stuff like that. He is the restorer of lost treasures. So the Lord brought that to my mind, and I got convicted because just over time, I hadn't been doing that. Lord, I'm sorry. You told me I was to declare that. So I spent some time. He is the restorer. I repent, Lord. I repent that I haven't used that sword. You gave me that sword. You are still the restorer of lost treasures, and you are restoring things that have been stolen. You are restoring things that have been lost, and I declare that over you this morning, that He is the restorer of lost treasures. The things that you've forgotten where you placed them, that the Lord can bring that to your memory. The things that has been stolen to you, God can deliver it back to your address. That the things that have been forfeited in your family line due to sin, He is the restorer of lost treasures. He can restore the years the locusts have eaten. The children you thought belonged to Him, that they're not serving Him now, they can be brought home, because one of the greatest treasures you'll ever have are your children, and He is the restorer of lost treasures. And I prophesy it over you today. I declare it over you today. I decree it over you today that He's going to bring restoration in your life. There's going to be reconciliation in relationships in the name of Jesus. He said it was yours. He'll bring it back to you. He's a good God. If He can cause a fish to swallow a coin and deliver it to Peter, He can bring your treasure back to you. And I declare He's going to do it in the mighty name of Jesus. And that's... Praise the Lord. And that's caused Mickey and me to like, okay, we got to take it up. How many prophetic words do we have? We don't need another one sometimes. We need to use the ones we've already gotten. And we're not going to despise the, we want it to flow. But what I'm saying, sometimes we're wanting another word, another word, another word, so we can put it in our notebook and leave it there and don't think about it anymore. The Lord who sees all things and knows things, if He's releasing that word to you, He's got a purpose in that word. He still speaks through the prophetic. And I encourage you to repent this morning if you have despised the prophetic, or if you've neglected it, or you've laid words aside and you haven't treasured those words. I've been repenting. And it's interesting, after I started this repenting and started declaring He's the restorer of lost treasure, the next day just came into my mind that she and I were supposed to go eat somewhere. We hadn't eaten in, I don't know how long we hadn't eaten there. But we're supposed to go there. We go there, and before we left, we saw God restore some treasures. You see, that prompting, I didn't know what He was up to, but while we were there, He brought some restoration about in some relationships. He's doing that. This is the season for that. The Lord's in the field, and He's in the field as the restorer of lost treasures. He even told a story about someone that found a treasure in a field, right? So God still speaks through the prophetic. Second thing is, change is required in order for the word to come forth. Because often the Lord, when a prophetic word comes to you, it usually has to do with a situation different than the one you're in. In other words, this is what God's got for you, but you look at yourself and think, well, this is not where I am. That means something's got to change for that word to come forth. And so a lot of times it's you. And there's a preparation season. God preparing you, trying to get you positioned to the place where that word can be fulfilled. Sometimes it's someone else. In order for the door to open that God has told you He's going to open, but it's not yet open, it may be someone else that He's working in, because they're the one that's going to take the doorknob and He's going to use to open it. Sometimes God may be working in circumstances to align and shift things around, to bring things into alignment, to bring forth that word. I'm just simply saying change is going to be required, and we have to be attuned into that. Lord, what do I need to be doing? What needs to change about me? Because this word really makes my heart come alive. This is awesome. That's not where I am right now. What do you want to work on, Lord? And you open your heart and your mind, get it in alignment, and the Holy Spirit will lead you. He'll speak to you. He'll work in you to bring about this change, because change will be required to bring about these words. The third thing is, the word you've received will be tested. One of the greatest examples of the testing of a prophetic word is found in the Old Testament in the life of Joseph. And then one of the greatest in the New Testament is in the life of Jesus. Joseph, he got a revelation from God. He had a dream. And he saw his brothers bowing down before him. He even saw his father and mother bowing down before him. But you know, the next thing that happened in his life, Those same brothers that he had the dream would bow down before him. To make the story short, they throw him in a deep hole and going to leave him there to die. So he's down in the bottom of a hole looking up, and he sees the faces of those brothers looking down in the hole at him. That was the opposite of his dream. His brothers would bow down before him. Now they're throwing him in a hole looking down on him. And it would take about 20 years. But that word came forward. And Psalm 107 says, the word of the Lord tested him until it came to pass. So there is a testing season when you get a prophetic word a lot of times, particularly these destiny-laden words. These words that are that kind of show something about the future, the big things that God's got for you. Because between where you are when you receive it and where you'll be when it's fulfilled, there's a lot of change and there's going to be testing that takes place. And we have to realize that. What usually happens? Well, we get a word on Sunday morning and we're excited. And Monday comes and it still hadn't happened. And my goodness, by Tuesday evening, that must not have been God. Right? Because we were just wired that way. But when we realize, I really bear witness that was the Lord. And something inside of me is telling me that's what God has for me. So I'm aiming at that. We'll get into the nuts and bolts of that on Wednesday night. I'm aiming at that. I'm praying into that. But between you and there, there's going to be some testing. Joseph ended up being over all Egypt under only the he was under Pharaoh only. And he held true to that word. He was tested in a lot of different ways. Peter got revelation. Jesus is the Christ. Where did he fail? Denying who Jesus was. That he even knew him. That didn't keep God from continuing to work on old Peter. He restored him. And then who was it stood up on the day of Pentecost in front of the people that had crucified Jesus and declared, let all the house of Israel know assuredly this same Jesus whom you have crucified has now been made both Lord and Christ. Before the whole Israel, he declared Jesus was the Christ. But he went through some sifting, and Jesus told him it was coming. Satan desires to sift you like wheat. And I pray for you that your faith fail not, but when you're restored, you'll strengthen your brethren. He went through that testing. You're going to go through some testing. Don't be surprised when you get a word if the next thing you see is the opposite. Now, I'm not prophesying that over you. But don't be surprised if that happens, because you see that in Scripture. A lot of places. Jesus is baptized by John. Heaven opens. The Holy Spirit comes down. And Jesus and the people with him heard God speak out of the heavens saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Then he's driven by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. The Holy Spirit led him into this test. And what was the test? All right now. If you are the Son of God, you're so hungry, turn these stones into bread. Oh, if you're God's Son, let's see if you are. Throw yourself off the pinnacle of this temple, and the Bible says that the angels will bear you up. Prove it. He was tested. Would he shortcut? Would he do it the devil's way? Or would he be faithful and obedient and go through it God's way? He went through it at God's way, wherefore God now has also has highly exalted him and has given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee would bow and every tongue confess. You go back to his temptation, the devil looked at him and said, if you're God's Son, I tell you, you just bow down and worship me. I'll give you all these nations right now. I'll just give them to you. He didn't do it the devil's way. He did it God's way. And then when that was said and done, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord. Things in heaven, things beneath. The devil himself will have to do that. Your word's going to be tested too, the word the Lord gives you. But remember this. Don't be surprised by the testing. Hang on to it. Stay with it. Stand on it. Pray it, declare it, so forth. Fourthly, you must wage war for your future with the word you've received. That's what Paul told Timothy. these prophecies previously spoken over you, you take them and wage the good warfare. They're weapons in your hand. And I've been doing that with the vision the Lord gave me about the Institute of Creativity, where I literally, and by vision, saw an angel come down in the middle of this grassy spot out here. He had a sword in one hand. He had a harp in the other hand. And he hit the ground. And I heard the Lord say, I want you to launch the Institute of Creativity. And I go back to that. I'm going to do war with that. Lord, this is what you said. And also the things you showed me that would happen. And the timing of it all. And it's amazing that when you pray through a word and stay with a word, that then you begin to see elements of the words you got, or understand elements of it that you didn't understand before. It's the nature of revelation. The word that you've got, it probably contains a lot more in it than you realize. But as you faithfully step into it and begin to obey it, the Holy Spirit will begin to clarify, solidify, and make it clear to you how it's going to work, how it's going to look, and it probably will look a lot differently than you thought it would when you got the word. And the process that you go through between receiving that word and seeing the fulfillment of it will probably be a lot different than you thought it would be. Part of it will be the change, part of it will be the testing, but you also, the war, you have to war in the middle of it. You have to contend for it. And that's where, again, the Lord kind of yanked my chain this past week about doing a better job of that. You must wage war for your future with the word you have received. There's so much warfare around you, around your destiny. The enemy's agenda, to shut that down and to keep you from fulfilling God's plan and purpose for your life. Let me give you an example. Years ago, there was a doctor and his wife who traveled 7 hours to come to our house for prayer. They had heard stories of some of the things God was doing, some of the miracles of healing that had been happening. And they contacted us through some people that we mutually knew and wanted to know, could they come to our house and receive ministry? So they made a drive from out of state. And we received him at home, went into my office, my study at home. And this doctor's wife had a pelvic condition as a result. I forget if it's the accident or whatever, but she had some broken bones and stuff. She carried a pillow with her everywhere she went. This had been going on several years. She had been to like the Mayo Clinic. She had been under all kind of pain management. Her husband was a doctor. They had exhausted themselves trying to get her help to no avail. And so she came for prayer, came in, sat down. As we began to pray, the Lord gave a few words of knowledge. We asked some questions, felt like we got some direction from the Lord, and just prayed a simple prayer, you know, for the pain to leave her and to be healed in the name of Jesus. And it was with amazement that we stood there and we saw this lady who, when she sat down, we got her a good cushion chair, but she took her cushion and she just had to just ease into the chair. She was in so much visual pain, you could see it. But all of a sudden, tears start streaming down her face. She gets up. She starts getting up and sitting down and moving around. She said, there is no pain. God has healed me. Her hands shot up. We started having a praise party. It was just awesome. Just awesome to see what God did, and just boom, like that. Well, in the middle of all that happening, I look at her and I have this little vision that pops before me, and I chose to go with it. That there was that I was willing, but it's like it just came out, and after it did, I'm like, did I just say that? But I looked at her and I said, the Lord said you're going to become pregnant, and you're going to have a little boy. And he's going to be born on April the 15th. Boom, 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 just like that. And it's like, oh my goodness. And I'm trying to, how can I get out of this? I can't believe I said this. So the last thing that they had been thinking about was having kids because of her condition. can imagine the agony. I mean, I've been told that even when you're in good shape, it's not a pleasant experience. So anyway, they leave. Not long after, we got a phone call, and she said, "Hey, we're pregnant. We're pregnant." A little later on, they call. Well, they're telling us it's a boy. A little later on the call, well, they're giving a due date, and it was, I can't remember if it was April 15th, but it was real close. But as it got closer, they called and said, "Well, they're talking about having to induce me if I don't have this baby, and it doesn't look like I'm going to have the baby." Long story short, if possible at this point, I get a call on April the 15th. I went into labor on my own, and I had my little boy today, April the 15th, just like the word of the Lord had come forth. And I've been contacted by this family when he gave his life to Jesus and he got baptized. And they sent me a picture when he graduated from high school because it was a blessing from God. They brought in, had to war through a lot to get to the place, had to exercise their faith, making a long drive, just obedient, trying to be obedient to get help, and then stepping into the word that came, which was necessary for them to do, by the way, after they got the word. But God blessed them. There is warfare around God's plans and purposes for your life. The enemy wants to stop it, but the Lord wants to encourage you. He'll send ministering spirits, angels to minister to you. He'll have someone to give a prophetic word to you. He'll have someone call you on the phone and say, "The Lord laid this Bible verse on my heart for you today." That's prophetic. Getting God's heart and passing it on to someone else for that person. That's prophetic. Last thing, as the worship team comes, and this one's really important, provision comes forth as you respond obediently to the word. Sometimes there may be a prophetic word comes forth, and there's nothing going to stop it. But most of the words that we get, they're given to us to encourage us, but they require our faith and obedience. Like, the Lord's called me into the ministry, you know. Well, have you started getting some Bible study? Are you looking into getting, working on preparation, studying to make yourself approved? Are you doing the things that you can do to prepare for what the Lord is saying He's leading you into? I just believe the Lord's calling me to go on a mission trip. Well, if He calls me, I know He'll provide. That is so true. But it doesn't mean that you're just to be like, "Well, He's going to send the money." No, it's required. You start praying. You go before Him and you pray. He can do it that way. He'll just send it supernaturally. He may lay people on your heart to write a letter to, different ways. It can happen so many ways, but I'm just saying your faith is going to be required to join God in what He's doing. But if He gives you a word for something, don't back off because, "Oh, that's too big. I could never do that." No, if God said it, He knows. He knows what His plan is for you. Well, I just can't imagine me ever being able to do that. Well, who's going to get the glory then when you do it? He will. Align with what God's saying, not what you're feeling. And I just believe all across the room there's prophecies laying around somewhere that you felt like when you got them they were from the Lord. You bore witness with them. But what have you done with them? Maybe you failed to even write it down, jot it down, or journal it. Well, pray today. Repent and pray and ask the Holy Spirit to bring that word to your remembrance. Get serious about waging warfare with the written word and also the prophecy spoken over your life. A 1-2 punch. Yes. Yes. Get them out. Read them. Pray through them. And Wednesday night, we're going to go through a list of things you can do to battle and wage war with that prophetic word. It'll be more practical. But today, lay in a foundation. And also, to ask you to join me in repenting. If you have not given weight to that word that you should have and used it as a weapon God's given you for your future. I want you to stand with me. Every head bowed, every eye closed across the room. Oh, Holy Spirit, quicken our hearts this morning. Forgive us for ways we've grieved you, quenched you, by not properly stewarding prophecy spoken over our lives. And Lord, I ask you to especially bless those faithful ones here today that have faithfully through the years labored and prayed and interceded and gone to war with these prophetic words. Lord, may there be a divine reset this morning, a time of realigning with the prophetic. Father, I just pray there'd be an increase of that prophetic anointing on our lives here, that we would be soldiers who are prophetically equipped to war for our families, war for our finances, war for our health, war for our future, war for our city, war for our region, our state, our nation, war for the nations. Oh, Lord, may this be a house of prophetic warriors. May there be princes and princesses, Lord, of your royal family that are equipped here this morning. May there be an impartation to take us to a new level of intensity and accuracy and commitment, Lord, to warring with these prophecies. Help us to have hearts open to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church this morning. This altar's area is open for any who need to come right now and just pray. Our prayer team members are also coming. They'll be here to pray with anyone who needs prayer. And I pray that there's even the prophetic would operate among our prayer team members up here this morning. Definitely saw this operating in the early service during the ministry time. And I encourage you, if you're in need of prayer this morning, to come up. Even now, just come on up. And you can come and pray here at these altars, or you can come and receive ministry at these altars. Have someone pray with you. You feel free to come. This is simple, but as soon as I had you bow your heads, this came to me, so I'm going to say it. And if it fits someone here, I encourage you to step into it. Come have somebody pray with you. But I felt like the Lord said there was someone here. Here's what I heard. I spoke to you in 1973 about this, and you still haven't done it. I wasn't thinking about 19. That's what came to my mind. So I'm putting that out there. I believe the Lord's trying to pinpoint someone. But that's encouragement, because he's still waiting for you to do it, which means he'll still fulfill it. He'll bring it forth. That was a spell back, right? That's been a ways back. Don't let that hinder you. Say yes. Say yes in Jesus' name. This altar's open.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small, child of weakness, watch and pray.
Are there others you need to come? Come. Perhaps you've never given your life to Christ. Today's the day of your salvation. Come. anyone else. Make your way to the front. Have a yes in your heart. I really encourage you to step into that restore of lost treasures thing. Because I really feel a renewed breath of God on that. Ministry time is going to continue up here, so feel free to trickle up here as you're led. I'm going to go ahead and release the rest of you. Please try to come back Wednesday night, and by all means, if you haven't registered for Saturday, that's so important. It's such a big weekend here. I encourage all of you to be a part of it. If you can't afford the registration fee, get with us. We'll make that happen. We'll make that happen because we don't want you to miss it. So in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, go forth, equipped with His Word today, and walk out the prophecies that have been spoken over your life in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. We'll continue to minister up here. You have an awesome day. Feel free to come forward if you need prayer and ministry.